You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4.
We can, surprisingly. The way that these figures are compiled is by basically asking people to keep a diary. So you ask people to record day by day how much time they're spending on different tasks.
Not that scientific, though.
But this is the gold standard of this kind of research. I mean, there are, you know, as in any kind of research, there are different ways of asking the question. You can do a survey where you ask people how much time did you spend on childcare this week, or you can do it in this day-by-day kind of way. And generally,
and
the day-by-day results tend to be more accurate.
To what's going on. And the picture in the UK is what? How would you describe it?
The picture in the UK is depends on what perspective you look at it. From the point of view of, you know, mums in the UK, like Lauren, who are doing more than two-thirds of the childcare, things can seem a bit unfair. The UK still comes out pretty well in the global rankings, though. There are a lot of countries that are doing much worse.
But your assumption is it that it should be 50-50?
Our assumption is that women should have choices, and men, that people should
have
choices.
They might have the choices and make these choices as they have done and still end up with the figures as they are, if you see what I mean.
They might do. If you look at some of the most equal countries in the world, so Finland, for example, is the country that comes out consistently top of these different rankings on where it's good to be a woman. And in Finland, women are still doing a bit more childcare than men, but not as much more as they're doing in, say, the UK or, you know, in the countries which are much worse. So that's the best kind of proxy that we've got for the choices that women would make, and maybe a bit more, but not as much more as they're doing in the UK and elsewhere.
Give us your perspective, Lauren Hampshire, because you're actually doing it at the moment.
Yes, well, personally, I think until men can carry children and produce milk, then of course there is going to be a sort of a balance of sort of more women are going to have to do more of the childcare. I'm currently breastfeeding, and you know, the other night my husband, I was so tired and I was like, oh please, can you sort of take her? And he said, well, until I can, you know, grow breasts and feed her, then it's quite difficult. So certainly at the early stages, I think...
But you can organise society around that, can't you? So, you know, women can express milk, they can organise themselves, families can organise themselves, couples can organise themselves, so that it's pretty much possible to do it equally, at least after a certain age.
Yes, I mean, you can organise yourself, although I would say in the early stages, and I would say most parenting experts and midwives and things would say that certainly the first few months, and I would say certainly the first 6 months, it is very, very important that the mother and the child have that time together, because that's what the baby knows. You know, she is
the mother and the child rather than the father.
Yes, because the mother is generally, well, they're obviously nowadays, we know all the benefits of breastfeeding. I understand completely those that do bottle feed as well. I combination fed with my daughter. But I do think that, yes, because of breastfeeding, building that bond, that relationship, it's the child knows your smell and your scent. So certainly for the first few months, I think it's important to spend that time with
them. So maybe we should be careful, Kem Elliman, about complaining too much about societies where the division isn't equal. In fact, maybe those societies that are moving helter-skelter towards trying to get towards 50%, you mentioned Finland, are actually doing damage.
I think we need to get a global perspective here. We're very lucky in the UK to have the choices that we do. But we interviewed women in India, for example, for this report, who were leaving tiny babies behind them when they went to work in tobacco fields, dangerous places where they couldn't take their children, locking the door behind them, leaving the children for hours every day, coming back to find the children had fallen out of bed, had been crying all day, had dirty bare nappies, and nobody had been. Now, this is not a kind of choice in anybody's book.
Yeah, but a lot of women here would say, all right, not in those desperate circumstances, but there's still an awful lot of pressure on them sometimes to leave children in circumstances that aren't ideal, and with husbands who would be better off working themselves, actually, because the family needs the money.
Absolutely. I think this is all about choices. We're certainly not saying in this report that there's some blueprint, once you've got down to perfect equality, then everything will be okay. This is about choices, choices that women can be forced to make by sort of prevailing ideas about gender and a woman's role, and choices that women can be forced to make by economics, because they have to go to work for the money. And what we need is for people to be sure that whatever they're doing is right for them and their family. And what we found in this report is that too many people around the world don't have that choice.
The prevailing, that's an interesting point about prevailing ideas of masculinity and gender. From your perspective, from your family perspective, Lauren Hampshire, I mean, would your husband have been happy to look after the children? You've got another daughter as well.
Yes.
Is that...
I actually asked him this earlier,
uh-huh.
And he said, well, he would find it very difficult because... He, well, first of all, he said, obviously, I'm breastfeeding, so that's something that right now. But if we're talking about older, talking about a slightly older child, and he loves my daughter Sophia, who is nearly three, and you know they play around a lot. But because she has spent so much time with me, and he has continued to work, and I took the time off and had maternity, then it makes sense for me to, I mean, I did go back to work, but I went back part-time. He also owns his own business. But I think generally the issue would be he would find it quite emasculating to, you know, to be at home. You know, he's a lad's lad, and I think a lot of men are. And I think that is something that this report brings up, which I think is great, is that maybe it's something we need to look at, is actually trying to make gender roles, it seemed more normal slightly for a man to be at home. I mean, I'm a woman here talking about a childcare issue. Maybe there should be more men talking about childcare issues. We should maybe see, you know, have more men talking about being at home with the children, and that might make that issue
That's a multi-generational thing, isn't it? But it's interesting that Grayson Perry, the artist, has got a series coming out on Channel 4, I think in a couple of months' time, where he basically attacks masculinity as an idea. His suggestion, I'm not saying he's right or wrong, his suggestion is that it's finished, it's useless in the modern era. It does a lot of damage, and actually not the good. It no longer has the good things that being a masculine man used to have. I wonder if there is a kind of, from your perspective, Claire, a kind of way in which society needs to address those fundamental driving things that are in us all from such an early age, and that actually is the only key to getting any kind of equality of the ability to choose either way how you organise these things.
I mean, I think obviously the kind of question about nature and nurture and masculinity is one that I'm not really qualified to answer.
Nor do we have time to go into it, but it's interesting.
You know, but I think, you know, what we see from patterns of childcare around the world is that men are taking very different roles. You know, there are some men in Scandinavia who are taking much more, you know, taking much more time looking after their children and things. So these things aren't fixed, even in this generation.
Yeah. But it's also culture. I mean, I mentioned Ireland right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You can see why things are as they are in Ireland, a traditional society where you could be seen as sort of attacking a culture that many Irish people, although one suspects more men than women, are perfectly happy with.
Absolutely, and we're not attacking any culture. This is all about choices and making sure that people have the choices that they want. And these issues about making sure that individuals can make those choices, this is the hardest thing to change. As you say, Lauren, these are the most fundamental things about our families and the way that we see themselves, ourselves. And, you know, we see even when the government's tried to do the right thing, like offering shared parental care, a lot of men don't take it up. It's going to be a slow process, but I think we are moving in the right direction.
You can listen to more free content from the Today programme by going to www.bbc.co.uk/today.